Church, we have had an incredible time journeying through the Old Testament. This is our second last sermon in season 5 of Heart Strong. Wow. So next week, we will finish up season 5. We'll go into a quick break over our Easter series, and then we'll pick up in season 6, starting just after Easter. If you're joining us today and you're saying, well, what is HeartStrong? I'm so glad you asked. HeartStrong is an incredible opportunity that we have taken on as a church, feeling this prompting by the Holy Spirit, to go on a 3-year journey through the Bible. We started in Matthew, and we have made it all the way to Chronicles. Last week, we covered what it was that was taking place in the book of Chronicles and how important it is for us to chronicle our own story. Over the next 2 Sundays, we're actually going to do a little bit of a look in the rearview mirror and step back into the book of Judges, specifically talking about 2 judges, the story of Deborah and then also the story of Gideon, both of which are listed in Hebrews chapter 11 in the Hall of Faith. There's a thread through the Old Testament and into the New Testament that we can pull from the book of Chronicles, which is the invincibility of God's people when they walk in obedience with the Father. But also the inevitability of consequences when they find themselves in disobedience. This thread should not be seen as God's doing, but as their doing with or in opposition to God. In fact, 6 words would help us better understand how God can be at work in our lives. Church, God is. In the Old Testament, we have read as God spoke and said, I am. God is. And in response to who God is, we do. And in the response to how it is that we understand God, how we relate with God, we always have to be aware that Satan can. God is, we do, Satan can. Now, a reminder this morning as we dive in, Satan is not. Come on. Satan is not on a level playing field with God. This is extremely important for us, for all of our young people in the room this morning and online, that we create that clear separation that our God is the only one who sits on the throne of thrones. Satan is a created being, and although we may be tempted to give him the same abilities and power as the God that we serve, nothing could be further from the truth. He is a created being. He is not God. He cannot be everywhere at all times. Only our God can. And our God is the only one with the power to save. When it comes to filling that hole, when it comes to being able to stand in that place and say, listen, I know that I've been created for something. It is only Jesus that can fill that space. The enemy will tempt us. The enemy will lead us into different paths and will present different things that he will say can fill these spaces. But church, we stand on God's word that it is Christ and Christ alone. As we dive into our Old Testament scripture today, we're really going to focus on the understanding that the enemy can tempt us and challenge us to change our understanding of who God truly is. And if our understanding of God changes, it can also change our understanding of who we have been created to be. One of the things that we've journeyed with as we've gone through the Old Testament and the New Testament is this deep, rich understanding that God has created the church. That the reason that we join together, even in the midst of an ice storm, and the reason that we gather together, turn the lights on, and worship the Lord is because he has called us to do so. So whether you have prioritized being online or in person, we are here today because this is what God has put forward. The understanding that we can read God's word on our own, that we will engage in our relationship with God in unique ways, each and every one of us, but that we have been called together to go on this journey. Not a single person in this room has been called to be the church by themselves. We have been called to lay our lives down at God's feet, to look around together, to get a better understanding of each and every person's story so that we can have a full understanding of who God truly is. Now, one of the things that I always remind myself when it comes to working with someone else and engaging in this life together is the difference between my father and I, especially since he's attending online. Dad, this one's for you. Now, church, my dad and I have many similarities. In fact, the last time that he was here, we won't name names, but someone from our congregation spoke this to him, and he walked out, and he's been telling me ever since. Someone said, "Wow, your son looks a lot like you." Now, if you know my parents, that is, of course, a massive compliment. My dad is a fine-looking young man. But my mom has not aged since she was 25. And so I always prefer when someone goes to my mom and says, "Wow, your son has a striking resemblance," because I also would like to defy the odds of ever aging. And so my dad said that this was shared to him, and he said, "I don't know if it's the amount of gray hair in your hair right now," and he just kind of laid it on thick. But my dad and I have many similarities, but we also have many differences. None as apparent as when we are constructing a piece of IKEA furniture together. Now, for those of you who have had the blessing of constructing IKEA furniture on your own, you'll know that it is 10 times more a blessing when doing it in conjunction with somebody else. Now, my dad is of the old school, where he opens up the box, he wants to see all the pieces. My dad, I must say as a caveat here, or he would be, you know, probably screaming through his screen right now. My dad is much more handy than I am in all respects and in every sense, okay? So that just on top of this. So my dad wants to see all the pieces, get all the tools that he can understand that's together. I, on the other hand, always start with the instructions. And so right from the very beginning, my dad and I are just off doing different things, right? So I'm opening the instructions. If you've ever seen an IKEA instruction book, it is a marvelous, marvelous piece of material. There are no words. There are like vaguely similar pictures to what the end product is supposed to be, and a lot of dotted lines that may or may not point to where it is that you're supposed to go. And so as my dad is looking at all the pieces and putting things together, y'all hear him say at one point or another, "Okay, let's do this." And I will respond, "I don't fully understand what's going on yet." And he'll look at me and he'll look at the pieces and he'll look at me and usually shake his head and be like, "Son, follow my lead." And so in conjunction, as we go about this journey, we always inevitably find the structure in the case that it needs to be. And I'm very thankful for my father for also indulging me as he is constructing the IKEA furniture and I thumb my way through the instructions. Church, it's important for us to understand that God has given us an instruction booklet. Amen? That God's word, the Bible says itself, is a lamp unto our feet. That word of the Lord is to be used as a guide, but it is also equally important that we look around at the people that God has filled our life with. Understanding that the stories that each and every person in this room has journeyed with as they've gone about this incredible unveiling of an understanding of who God is, that is equally important. My dad grew up in an age where the instruction booklet was less helpful than even the ones that we have right now. Where that's just, I wasn't there, I don't know, this is what I'm told, all right? Where they would literally just take the things and place them to the side. The instruction booklet that we now use from IKEA, it doesn't give the full understanding, but there is things in there that we need to dig into. When it comes to our journey with God, it is both of these together as we walk out what it truly looks like to be the church. It's our understanding that we have been given the word of God, and this is our firm foundation. But there will also be times where as we're on our journey, and as we turn to the word of God, as we turn to our own relationship with the Lord, that we need to be reminded to lean on one another. Church, you have not been called to walk this road alone. In fact, we have been so called to not walk this road alone that the Bible, especially in the New Testament, will constantly encourage us to remember that we have somebody close and dear to us every step of the way. If you're here this morning and you're taking notes, I want you to write this down. I am never alone. I am never alone, because the Bible says that he who is within you will walk with you every day. We walk every moment, we breathe every breath, we take on every day with God by our side. And God, in human form, as he came and lived amongst us as Jesus, he has walked out, he has lived a life worth modeling after, and he understands each and every one of our situations. Church, aren't you so thankful that we not only serve a God who has set us free, but we serve a God who understands what it looks like to walk through trials, through tribulation, and persecution. Hebrews 4:15 says this, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." This is our Savior. This is Jesus. Now, it's important for us to sit here and think about that for a moment. When we're thinking about our own greatest temptations or struggles, do you ask that question? Do I believe what it is that Hebrews has just spoken? Do I believe that Jesus has experienced every temptation? In fact, even greater temptation than I'm facing, and yet did not sin. We experience temptation and sin on a daily, on a weekly, on a monthly basis. But we need to understand that our Savior has gone before us. There's scripture of Jesus standing in community with the devil as the enemy is tempting him in the wilderness, and yet Jesus does not yield. And we stand on God's word that he continued in that fight until the victory that he experienced on the cross through his own death and resurrection 3 days later. Now, fighting temptation for us is like standing inside of a strong current. It's our constant battle to take one step further into the current, as that temptation can come over us as you're fighting that battle to simply sit down and allow the current to take you wherever it is that it wants you to go. Church, Jesus fought this same battle, and he never gave in to that temptation to sit and rest in the current. He kept his eyes focused on the Lord. His spirit was infused by the Holy Spirit. It was on that in which he stood each and every moment of every one of his days. Jesus understood in fullness what we must also establish as a foundation for our souls, that the best way to battle a current is by holding on to a rope that's attached to the other side. Jesus had perfect relationship between him and the Father and the Holy Spirit. Where we focus on Jesus' sinlessness, at times it can actually unjustly diminish the priority of relationship that Jesus had with the Father and the knowledge of Scripture that Jesus stood on in every moment. In the current, we not only battle temptation itself, but also the lies of the enemy. Because Satan can, he will lie to you that the current is something that God can calm, he just is choosing not to. Satan can challenge you in the midst of the current that there's actually an experience of relief and you need to just sit and rest and let the current take you where it is. But in those moments, even as the enemy speaks, may we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. Jesus held on to the rope in the midst of the current, prioritizing his relationship with the Father, leaning on his strength through the Holy Spirit, and resting only on the word of the Lord. The book of Judges actually refers to giving in to the enemy's temptation by everyone doing what was right in their own eyes. Judges chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. "And the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died, and the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who lived in Harosheth Hagoyim. Then the people of Israel cried out to the Lord for help, for he had 900 chariots of iron, and he oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. Church, God is. Israel in this scripture turns against the current. And after 20 years of oppression, finally they begin to cry out to God again. None of this is God's heart, and yet he is at work in the mess. How many of us are thankful this morning that God is at work in our mess? Even in those times where we find that we do not have the strength to carry on, God is present. Even in those times where we find ourselves in places that God never intended for us to go because of where it is that we allowed our feet to step, for what doors it is that we walk through without God's permission, that God is still at work. He does not abandon us. He does not separate from us. He does not release us. The Lord of Scripture is constantly calling to us, constantly reaching out to us, constantly drawing our hearts to his attention, because he is the Lord of love, of mercy, and of grace. Our God is quick to forgive, is quick to remind, and quick to bring forward not condemnation, but an understanding that we are a people who need repentance. Not only is God at work in the mess, but we will also see God in the work of hiddenness. Between today's story and next story about Gibeon, we will see that God is present in it all. Judges chapter 4, verses 4 to 6, immediately after these verses, now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at the time. She used to sit under the palm of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill of the country of Ephraim. And the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. She sent and summoned Barak, the son of Abinoam, and from Kadesh Naphtali, and said to him, "Has not the Lord, the God of Israel, commanded you? Go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun." Church, how important for us to surround ourselves with people who know God by name. Here in this scripture, Israel is calling out to the Lord. They recognize that they have reached a part in their story that they cannot go any further. And God responds, as he will multiple times in the book of Judges, by raising up someone to speak on his behalf. Church, there are times in our stories where through exhaustion, through doubt, through just giving in to temptation, where we will find ourselves in situations where it is so important that we begin to lean not on our own understanding, but to elevate scripture in our lives and those God-fearing believers that God has also brought into our story. Now, for many of us today, adults in this room, this can come in the form of an elder of the church, a minister. This can come in the form of someone in a small group, a friend, maybe someone that you've been journeying for a long time in your church life in. For those of you that are a little younger, I'm just going to put this little, I have a little star beside this notes. It can actually be your parents. I know, shocker. Listen, it was crazy for me too as I was going through this story and thinking back to on my days as a youth. It's really a wonder. I don't know, it's probably around the age of like 22, 23 where I finally stepped kind of back into that phase. Many of you have journeyed on this road yourselves. If you're in the age of like 14 to 19, you're not quite there yet. It will happen, I promise. Where I stepped into the age around 22, 23, 24, and I remember sitting there one day and being like, wow, you know what? My parents might have actually known what they were talking about. It was a crazy epiphany. It was a moment. It was probably just me. I hear the silence in the room. Maybe you were constantly like that as you were a teenager, being like, wow, my parents are so wise. Everything it is that they're telling me to do, I can't wait to do all of it, right? Maybe that was the general consensus. I just see, you know, a lot of silence going on here. That's fine. For me, it was much different. My parents would tell me things to do, instruct me on ways to go, and something inside me would be like, but what about the opposite? Like, how do I go about that journey? But it was about the age of 22, 23, 24 where I finally realized, you know what? Maybe God was up to something here. And young people, I want to encourage you to be more wise than I was. I want to encourage you that you actually don't have to wait until those later years to take a step back and to say, God, if this is you, I will listen. God calls Deborah, the judge, to step into this story, to remind the people of Israel that God is at work. They have diminished their own size. They have diminished what it is that God has even spoken over them. They only see themselves in the predicament. They only see themselves as far from God, and yet God is present. He has not turned his face from the people of Israel. In church this morning, I want to let you know, no matter where it is you are in your journey with the Lord, he has not turned his face from you either. In fact, this morning, I believe that God wants to call you to begin to see the light in the darkness once again. I believe that God wants us to establish our lives on his word and his word alone. I believe that God wants to remind us of the beautiful people that he has surrounded us with, the intelligence and the wisdom that he has bestowed on this church, and that we can remember that we are not in the current by ourselves. Here they have been called to dig into obedience. Israel is being called by Deborah to engage again in progress. In disobedience, progress stops. But obedience, God can move. Notice here that there is a space and time to realize that progress has stopped. Why? Because the current that we find ourselves in at our backs can sometimes feel like progress. There are times in our stories where, as we're digging into our journey with God, where when we sit and begin to allow that current to move, it can actually feel like, oh, this is actually moving us somewhere, until we end up in the exact place that we never wanted to be. Come on, church. In this story, the Israelites have ended up in a season of oppression. We'll see little tidbits of how it is that they got here, but this is 20 years later of walking away from God, where they suddenly realize this is not where we wanted to be. God, please help us. And God begins to move them back into the face of the current. Yes, the next step will be difficult, what it is that he's asking them to step into, but he is not going to leave them in the midst of this strong current alone. Deborah is both a prophetess and a judge. God has raised her up for the people of Israel. In oppression, as a response to Israel calling out to God for help, God uses her life to call on Barak. Deborah is historically noted as a woman with a fiery spirit, often depicted as a torch for Israel, kindling their heart for God. Yet Barak is hiding in fear, not in sin. But caught in fear, he does something actually insightful and instructive for each and every one of us today in 2025. Even in the face of fiery Deborah, he says these things. Judges chapter 4, verse 8. And Barak said to her, "If you will go with me, I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go." Here he harpens back to Moses as Moses was speaking to the Lord. Do you remember as we journeyed through that in Heartstrong? Where Moses spoke to the Lord and said, "If you are not going with us, then we will not go. Even if it means that we are just going to sit here in the desert, if your spirit will not go with us, we will not go." Here, Barak says the same thing to Deborah. "I will go, but I want you to come with me." It is clear that God is at work in your life. Come and go on this journey with us. And Deborah responds in this fiery flash of flame in Judges chapter 4, verse 9. She responded and said, "I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, the road on which you will going will not lead to your glory, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hands of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. It wasn't normal in this ancient time for a woman to lead Israel's military. So she asked Barak. I know I keep going back. I hear it too. Barak hesitates. Deborah agrees and predicts that the glory of this battle will go to a woman, not to you, Barak. Barak hasn't sinned in this moment, but his fearful hesitation is also being rooted out. Deborah has spoken on behalf of the Lord, has given the instruction, and yet there is fear that is entering in there. Instead of immediately responding, Barak then turns back to Deborah and says, "I am not ready to go alone." Deborah is able in this story to go with him, but only to a point. What she can't do is take that step of obedience for him. Caught in fear or sin, it is wise for us to call on others to walk with us. Yet it is also necessary for others who are in our lives to remind us that they cannot take that step of obedience for us. Church, as we lean on one another, may we lean on one another to hear stories of faith. We had an incredible testimony from our very own Annalisa that just all week I've received emails and calls, and I know that many of you have been such an encouragement to our sister Annalisa, but her story is meant as a platform for us to engage deeper in our own stories with God. Not to sit on and say, "Wow, God, as you're moving in the life of Annalisa, continue to use her, and I can't wait to hear more testimony." Church, as Barak was asking Deborah to step in, she would step in, she would walk with him, but there was also a call on his life to be obedient to what it was that God had set before him. And the same is for us. What a blessing it is to be a part of Kanata Life Center. What a blessing it is to hear the stories of what it is that God is doing. But if you're here this morning and you're asking God, what about my testimony? What about my story? I want you to hear the encouragement today. God has a plan for your life. And it is a plan for you to be able to stand on the solid ground of His word and spread the gospel from your own mouth to others that God has surrounded you with that just don't know Jesus yet. See, one of the reasons that we come together as a church, just as Deborah went and stepped into this place for all the people of Israel, is to be reminded that God is at work. Church, as we open God's word this morning, may that be all the encouragement that you need to read through in the story of Judges, to flip forward in the story of Chronicles, to recognize that God has and He will again. But maybe you're here this morning and you just need to hear some encouragement from other believers. That is incredible. Our opportunity to open in song and in worship is that opportunity for us to look around in the room, to hear through the screens that God is moving, that you're not alone. Just as we encourage our high school students, church, we encourage you today. In your neighborhoods, in your workplaces, in your high schools, wherever it is that you find yourself, you may be the only Christian representative that God has placed there, but you are not alone. You're not alone. God has called us as the church to gather together, to be encouraged today, to hear the voice of the Lord so that we can go back out into our city and spread the name of Jesus into every corner, into every nook, into every cranny of this city, that all would hear and know Jesus is Lord. Deborah is able to go on this journey with Barak, but he will also be asked to respond to that encouragement, to that challenge that God has placed in his life. Church, I want to encourage you today that what it is that you decide in the face of the current, it matters. Being able to journey with my dad through all the fun of building IKEA furniture is such a blessing. But the greater blessing is that God has established my father and my mother in my life as a leading example of what it truly looks like to submit to the Lord. As much as we rustle it out with those little Allen keys that they give you every time, anyway, that's a whole other sermon illustration. But as much as we wrestle it out with IKEA, it is such a blessing to be able to look at my father and know that he has walked this road with Christ before me. As we look around in this room, may we also be encouraged that God has set individuals in our lives to point in the direction of Christ, to remind ourselves we are not alone. But my parents' faith is not sufficient for me. Hello? My parents' faith is not sufficient for me. As I follow Jesus, as I follow others in this congregation either that inspire me each and every week, the challenge and the structure of their lives, of what it looks like to face the current, it's an important inspiration, it's an important reminder, but it still comes down to that challenge for me to say, God, I also will be obedient. God, I also will grab on to this rope that is a relationship with the Father. God, I also will remind myself that I am not strong enough. There is not enough power in me and me alone. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. If I am to face this current, God, I need you. Just as my Father needs you, just as Jesus needs you, God, so do I. Deborah hears from the Lord and challenges Barak, and listen, from Judges chapter 4, verses 4 to 16, Deborah has gone with them, but this is what she speaks. Deborah speaks to Barak and says, "Up, for this is the day in which the Lord has given Sisera into your hand. Does not the Lord go out before you?" So Barak went down from the Mount Tabor with 10,000 men following him, and the Lord routed Sisera and all of his chariots and all of his army before Barak by the edge of the sword. And Sisera got down from his chariot and fled away on foot. Barak pursued the chariots and the army to Hazareth Hagamim, and all of the army of Sisera fell by the edge of the sword. Not a man was left. Now remember how Deborah said to Barak that he wouldn't get the glory, but a woman would? Her name is Jael. in defeat. Sisera runs away and into the tent of Jael. And we actually read further on in scripture that it is she who actually drives the final tent peg through his temple into the ground as he sleeps. A most unlikely deliverer. Barak won't go without Deborah, but Jael goes on her own. Deborah's prophecy becomes true. God uses Barak, but Jael, a woman, gets the final glory. Thus, the final stanza of the song of Deborah and Barak is a song of God who is our deliverer. Judges chapter 5, verses 31. So may all your enemies perish, O Lord, but your friends be like the sun as he rises in his might. And the land had rest for 40 years. Church, sometimes we need the right person to help us face the currents again. But there will come a moment where we must lean and trust only in Jesus. That he would be the one who would help each and every one of us to engage and overcome the current of life before us. As he alone is your great high priest, who precisely knows how to walk against and faithfully persevere unto the end. Church, God is, and we do, and Satan only can. God is, we do, and Satan only can. If and where Satan does in you, remember who Jesus is. You are more than a conqueror through him who has established himself in you. The enemy is a liar and a thief. But the same lies that he tried to use against the Son of Man, the same lies that he tries to use against today, he has no new weapons, but our God is new every day. He is a lamp unto our feet. And as we go about this journey of facing the current as it comes, let us not grow tired and weary of doing good. But may we instead cling to the rope that is Jesus. May we instead lean on each other as we establish together as a church that relationship with God, and may the Holy Spirit be our strength. Church, let us not lean on our own understanding. Let us not give in to temptation, but instead let us be a people who would say, God, I hear you and I respond. In those seasons where fear or doubt may come into place, may we lean on one another. May we pray for one another. May we strive with one another. May we encourage one another. Because God is in our midst, and he can do so much more than we could ever possibly think or imagine. Church, let's pray this morning. God, I thank you for your word. And Lord, this morning we are reminded that you are at the center of it all. God, I thank you for your son who has given us such an incredible example to follow. God, I thank you that he showed us the way. God, thank you for your son who had such an incredible understanding of scripture, that even when the enemy came to tempt him, that he stood on your word. May we do likewise. God, I thank you for the example that we have of the church, Lord Jesus, in the New Testament, that, Lord God, that was established in this time of persecution, that was established in this time of upheaval, but Lord, they stood together. And because of the great faith that they had, because of what it was that you were at work in, Lord, we are able to stand here today and praise your name. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray over our congregation, whether in person or online, for those of us, Lord God, that are growing weary in the midst of the current. God, I pray that we would once again renew our strength in you, God. God, I pray that we would once again renew our strength and understanding of who you are, Lord Jesus. God, that we would grab a hold of the rope, reminding ourselves, even right now, that you have not placed us in this stream and in this current to be strong enough to face it on our own. God, you didn't do that with your son. You didn't do that with us either. You are in that water with us, Lord. God, you have thrown us the rope that is your Holy Spirit. God, you have already carved through this path already. Lord, we are following the path that Jesus has already taken. And so, God, I thank you for this example in Judges that we have been given, this reminder, Lord, that yes, you will surround us with people of faith, but we must also be obedient to the life that you have called us to. And so, God, whatever that may look like, whatever war or stream is set before us, may we take every step in a deep, renewed understanding today that you are here. You are here. and you will not leave us or forsake us. And it is not your desire, Lord Jesus, that we should grow weary in doing good, that we should sit and simply be taken by the current. Instead, Lord God, you have called us to be a lighthouse for the city. And so, Lord, even on this day that is full of ice, God, I pray that your fire would fall in this room. God, even on this day that is full of ice, Lord, I pray that there would be a kindling that would take place this morning in the life of your people. May we set ourselves on your word and be renewed this morning, Lord Jesus, through you and you alone. And so, God, be with us today. Before we go, God, may we share the story of that salvation moment in which you called us. Lord, for those that have yet to take that step, Lord, may they just take a moment to hear why it is that we come every Sunday, what it is that we believe, that God has made a way where there seemed to be no way, that because of the cross, we are truly free. And God, on that third day, as you resurrected your son, God, we have been invited into that eternal promise of a life spent with you. And so today, God, we say thank you. Thank you, God. Be with us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen. Church, before you go today, we do have our incredible prayer team that are more than willing to step into this moment. If you feel like you're in the midst of the current and maybe you have already sat down or you're feeling that temptation to simply go with the current, let us stand together. You are stronger than what it is that the lies of the enemy would try to get you to believe. Amen? For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so come this morning. If you're believing for something, we would love the opportunity to believe along with you. If you have yet to join our HeartStrong Monday through Thursday at 6 a.m., please join us this week. It's an incredible time to dig through scripture together. There's also an evening opportunity that's available. Or if you want to sign up and simply go through the teachings at your own pace, you can do that through our website as well. We will see you again next week as we close HeartStrong Season 5. Hallelujah. To God be the glory. We'll see you again next week. God bless you.